So I just absolutely have to ask you this. Trick or treat? What? Okay, some are saying trick. And so here's the trick, here's my homily. And some of you said treat, and I hope it's a treat, here's my homily. Tomorrow at the 11 o'clock Mass at Immaculate, we are also remembering the dead. And I know the week after that, we are remembering the dead over here. So I'm doing the Mass over there, so I don't know which homily to prepare for the All Saints or All Souls, or so I've taken both these feasts together, okay, for All Saints today and All Souls on November 2nd. And so here's my reflection on both of these feasts. And I know one of the privileges of the priesthood is that I get to share my stories in public and you don't, although you may have your own. So I want to talk about my grandma's funeral that I was at just a 3 or 4 weeks back. I want to talk about her and the events that accompanied her death and somehow help that reflect on today's scripture. So grandma, her name was Sarah Anthony, and she was 93 years old. She died when she was 93. And she was a widow for 63 years. So she lost her husband when she was merely 33 years old. And grandpa died, and I haven't met grandpa. In fact, both my grandfathers, I haven't met them ever. I only met my grandmothers. And grandpa died when she still had a suckling baby in her hands. She worked very hard on the farm to provide for her 5 kids. When the oldest, my mother is the oldest, but the oldest son, when he got to a point where, you know, he could actually begin to support the family, he died. And he died to a reaction to a flu shot that he received. You know, in those days, you know, and so I remember I was just barely 3 years old. And she never got over that. And then just 5 years back, she buried her youngest daughter, who died of cancer. So here is a woman who has buried her husband when she was very young and 2 children before she died. And then over the last 2 years, she had become extremely weak. But it was the last 2 months that she really struggled a lot. My grandma comes from a very little town, and so there's no hospice there, so we had her at a hospital. There was full-time aid to take care of her, and my mom would stay there. And there's only one thing that my parents, my mom and her 2 brothers, were really hoping for, which is, gosh, she's had a tough life. May she have, you know, a peaceful death. Let her not struggle in that. Now, because this was a Catholic hospital, mom could go for Mass every day at 5 o'clock at the hospital and then still be with grandma. And so one of those days when she went to the Mass, when she came back, one of my uncles had stayed next to grandma, and when mom came back, he was constantly saying to her, "Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Jesus, Mary, Joseph." And for some reason, he felt that the end was near. And when my mom had come and all the 3 siblings were there, just 3 little breaths, she was gone. It was very strange that for my mom and for her brothers, that peaceful death made up for 63 years of struggle. You know, how we make sense in faith of the things that happen to us. But then the most beautiful part of the funeral was, I mean, I land up on the Wednesday of the funeral at 3 in the morning, and it's raining cats and dogs. Now, in monsoon, I don't know if you know what monsoons are, but monsoon is rain and rain and rain and more rain. That's all we get. So when I got there that morning, it's raining really crazy. At one point on the highway, I was wondering, how in the world will we have the funeral tomorrow? Because in my country, there are no funeral homes. We take the body and we carry the body from the home to the church, and every church has their own graveyard, so it's not too much from the church to the graveyard, but. And so we received the body from the morgue at about 10 o'clock in the morning that morning, and it was very funny. Slowly began to clear up. And from the house to the church is about a half a mile's walk, and we have to carry grandma, right? By about noon or so, it was like this, bright sunlight. And it stayed like that till 5 in the evening, when the funeral actually got over. The funeral was at 3 o'clock. We brought the body home, it's laid out, and people come and pay their respects. 3 o'clock is the funeral. Beautiful, glorious day. We walked on dry ground with grandma being gloriously carried in her coffin to the church, and from the church to the cemetery. And we come back home and it starts raining again. And it did not stop till I left India on Friday. So we had those 6 hours of God knows from where, beautiful, glorious weather. And when we put those few peaceful breaths with which grandma died, and the glorious sunshine, that's all that matters to us. 63 years of struggle is all somehow forgotten, and we just felt so deeply the presence of God in that moment of death. And I hope that you, perhaps who've experienced death very closely, of a loved one, can look back and find God and God's presence in the moment of death or otherwise. That is at least my hope. So we celebrate today the Feast of All Saints, and in a couple of days, All Souls. And I believe that either you will be part of both these celebrations, or at least one of these celebrations. And I want to believe that the ones that have gone before us, the ones that have died in our homes and in our families, and us together, that's why it's called the communion of saints, those who've gone before us and those who still remain here, are invited by God to participate in the very life of God. I want us to believe that. That is our faith. And I want to believe then that grandma was a saint. I want to believe that she was a saint, and that when as she lived on earth, and that today she participates fully in God's life. And what gives me the confidence to believe that? God's word. Hear God's word today. Today's first reading is from the book of Revelation. And we had a speaker the other day for our adult faith formation, Dr. David Barr, who is an authority on the book of Revelation. He came and he refers to that number, 144,000 people. The scriptures today, there are 144,000 people. Now some churches interpret that as there'll be only 144,000 people in heaven, and that is our church. Of course, that excludes the Catholic Church because we are 2 billion people. But that's not what the scriptures are saying. What 144 is multiplication of 12 into 12, which in the scripture refers to the 12 tribes of Israel and everybody else. So it's God's way of saying that everybody, all God's people, are called to participate in God's life. God doesn't just pick and choose. Oh, you look good, I like you, come on to me. You, ugly creature, go to hell. God doesn't do that, right? God invites us all into communion with God. That confidence is what makes us come before God, no matter who we are, and say, God, we trust in you, and we want to participate in God's life with you. And then, today's second reading, beautiful, beloved, he says, See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God, yet we are. We are all God's children. That is why we are saints. We are not saints because we've done something great. We are saints first because God has called us children. God has called us saints. And today's scripture then tells us that anyone who considers themselves a child of God, anyone who's poor in spirit, anyone who's clean of heart, anyone who is a peacemaker, anyone who mourns the misfortune of others, all these people, all of us, are somehow called to be God's children. Saints, the living and the dead. So, just very briefly, 3 points for us to think about this week. You know, I the first point is this. I consider myself so lucky because it is so peaceful to bury somebody who we can be proud of, isn't it? And I am so proud of my grandmother, I'm so proud of my mom, so proud of my dad. I don't have to worry about burying them because I know they will be in peace with God. But at All Saints Day and All Souls Day, I worry about those people who may have had to bury somebody they're not very proud of. That when they look back at their lives and they say, I wonder whether my beloved is with God or not. We all worry about that. And my heart goes out to those people who have to live their lives in that doubt. But Scripture tells us that Christ did not come to save the righteous. He came to call sinners. And that's why God is God. Because the saint and the sinner are both invited and both called by God to be the children of God. And the best thing we can do, and I hope that I hope there isn't anybody who has to worry about their loved one, but if there is, if you've buried someone whom you're not very sure of, the best thing to do is to, with entire faith and hope and trust, just put them into the hands of God. Don't judge them. No judgment, no condemnation, no fear, just an absolute trust. Present them into the safest place that they can be at, the hands of God. And I hope that those who have such people to worry about can find much comfort and consolation in God's love that makes us children of God. My second point, Scripture does not limit sainthood only to those that have died. In other words, we don't become saints when we die. Of course, there are some people in the church that we hold up as exemplary. Why? Because we recognize in them someone who has tried to live the life of God on earth while they were alive. I guess what I'm trying to say is that we need some models, and we exemplify some people because from the human perspective, we need these models who teach us what it means to live God's life. But look at it from God's perspective. God doesn't need saints. We need those saints for us to be models. But as far as God is concerned, all of us are a saint in the making. All of us is a prospective saint. And that's why we have the Feast of All the Saints. Not only that we exemplify, but my grandma and people that you love, people who've been exceptional, and those who today among us are living exceptional lives. We're all saints. If we are not saints when we're alive, nobody's going to remember us as saints when we are dead. Sainthood is not for the dead, sainthood is for the living. It's about the here and now. And God sees in us that potential, that we can live the life of God here on earth. All I got to do is live up to that. Third point. So how can I be a saint? When I first joined the seminary and I read the lives of saints, of course, the way they are written, that whole romantic style, which, you know, I said, gosh, I'm going to become one of these. I don't want to, because their lives are written in such ways that it's almost impossible to reach the ideal. I don't know if you've read any of the lives of saints that feel they're so above us, being beyond us, you know. But that's not how I look at sainthood. A saint is a very simple person who just tries to be extraordinary in simple ways. Today's scripture, you know what gospel it tells us? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what is right. Blessed are the clean of heart. Blessed are those who are willing to pay the price for being a disciple of Christ. The kingdom of God is yours. So the best way to be a saint is to just live the Beatitudes in the best way possible. Can I be pure in heart? I can try. Can I mourn the misfortune of others? I can try. I can try that. Can I be a peacemaker? I can try that. And to the extent we try that, we are trying to live the life of God on earth. So the Beatitudes present a simple, simple, simple way to be a saint today. Let us pray, my dear friends, that one day we will share the very life of God. We'll see God among, and we'll be among the 144,000 that will see God and worship God. But the best thing to remember is, while we are here on earth, we see the same God on this altar. Can we worship God today like we would want to worship in heaven? Can we be today what we want to be in the future in the human way possible? That's what Christ is inviting to in this Eucharist. This life of God becomes ours, and God says, then please go and take this life and live wherever you are. Be humble of heart, be pure in heart, be peaceful. So let us pray that as we receive Christ, that we can share in the holiness of God, that we can share in God's own life, and begin our journey of towards sainthood even while we are here. Amen?
Amen.
Trick or treat? Either way, I hope it helped. Please rise and let us profess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us, for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has